Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. How do I know I will enter heaven on Judgment Day? In this message from Dr. John Neufeld, we are studying what Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23 regarding an invitation to obedience as we continue our series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. Now let us go back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld.
Matthew 7, 21 to 23 demands we answer a question as to the identity of some of those who are damned at the last judgment. Who are these people that Christ describes as surprised by their fate? We can be quite certain that these people thought they were citizens of Christ's kingdom or they were followers of Jesus, but upon death, they found themselves in the place of torment and now they stand before the judgment, confused and afraid and desperate. They say, Lord, calling Jesus Lord. They can't begin to fathom how they ended in such a state. We have called you Lord, they say, but from what follows, it's clear that they never knew what that title meant. But they say, Lord, we don't understand why we're here. And they are in despair. Why have we come to this place? While we were alive, we did miracles and we cast out demons and we preached great sermons. And now, after all we've done, we're here. Why? And the reply of Jesus needs to be understood. The grammar of the Greek suggests Jesus as saying not just, I never knew you, but never for a single moment have I ever known you. While you were doing all these things, I never acknowledged you were mine. I always regarded you from the very beginning as my enemies. You may have prophesied in my name, but you were always false prophets. You were false to me. You know, this leads many Bible teachers to ask a most serious question, a question that each one of us should be very interested in. What did these people actually do to make them think that they had belonged to Christ? And how is it possible for them to do miracles and even cast out demons, which they were doing in the name of Christ, and still had not belonged to Christ? There's no greater question that should be answered. How is it possible to call Jesus Lord, to prophesy in his name and cast out demons and do miracles, and all the while never belonging to his kingdom? Now, there are several possibilities as to who these people are. Let me suggest four of them. First, it is possible that they relied on Satan to do miracles, just like the magicians in Egypt who opposed Moses, or like Simon the sorcerer. And in that case, then it seems likely that they were inwardly committed to the evil one, while outwardly they pretended to be loyal to Jesus. But that seems unlikely because the people Jesus describes here are genuinely surprised at the judgment. It would seem to me that if they had relied on Satan, they would know that they would be united with him in eternity and not with Christ. Well, second, another possibility is that they relied on the power of others, like the seven sons of Sceva mentioned in Acts 19, who attempted to cast out demons in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They knew of Christ's power and tried to harness it. But they never belonged to Christ. Perhaps they had limited success in some way, but they were always pretenders. Well, third, it is possible that they were fakes, so that there were no miracles going on at all, but they used fraud and sleight of hand and manipulated others to believe that miracles were indeed going on. You know, such is the case today with a number of false teachers who will hold miracle services, and when independent research is done, they are found to be fraudulent from front to back. You know, whole ministries have been built on the miraculous, even dramatic videos of people getting out of wheelchairs, but when medical studies are done, it either shows that all of this was a fake or that they weren't healed at all, but went back to the wheelchair shortly after. And fourth, the final possibility is that God was indeed doing miracles because he is sovereign. But these people were never true believers. They thought that what constitutes a citizen of Christ's kingdom are things like miracles and prophecy and driving out demons, but they had no stomach for submission to Christ or for the ethical demands of his kingdom. Their personal lives and what they believed and taught was not in line with the teaching of Jesus or the rest of the New Testament. Forgiveness of enemies, turning one's back on lust and greed, resisting the seduction of pride. All these things made no difference in them at all. Well, we see these kind of things today. You know, there are televangelists with personal and private jets, a magnificent wealth, and troubled personal lives, growing ever larger ministry, and all the while looking so unlike the description Jesus gives in his sermon on who the subjects of his kingdom really are. You know, when he said, "By their fruits you shall know them," he was asking us to see if they really do live and behave and act like a child of his kingdom. And if I might say so, it is imperative for every believer not to believe that miracles are the signs of a follower of Jesus. But whatever the case, however it came about that they did miracles in Jesus' name while being disloyal to him, the point is, miracles and driving out demons and prophesying and preaching or whatever else will not help on Judgment Day. But if not that, then what will? Well, let's read verse 21 again. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You know, the immediate response that we might have to this is that this is legalism. But if you think about it for a moment, if you stumble over this, that doing the will of the Father is what matters on Judgment Day, can you see that you really do need Jesus to teach you? Legalism is a charge that's constantly being used today in evangelical circles. And it's fascinating that the word itself is not used in the Bible or in Jesus or Paul or Peter. None of them ever charged anyone with legalism. See, what Paul did charge people with was works righteousness, which I'll get back to in a second. But in the mind of many false believers and false teachers, the demand to do the will of the Father is legalism. In other words, when Jesus said, "You must do the will of the Father to enter into the kingdom of heaven," these people today will actually charge Jesus with legalism. No doubt Jesus will say to them, "Never at any time have I ever known you." So let me explain the biblical relationship of faith to obedience. Let's begin by reading Romans chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul explains his calling and his message that he preaches. Speaking of Jesus and his call, he says, "Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations." You know, in Paul's own words, the result of his preaching is to bring people to the obedience of faith, or the obedience that comes out of, or is the result of faith. Let's say it again. The kind of faith that Paul preached was an obedience of faith, that is, a faith that gives rise to obedience. That's why he would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 10, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then he adds to the Corinthians, "And that's what some of you were, but you were washed and you were sanctified," and so forth. In other words, once you believed, you became obedient to the faith, and you laid aside all of these things. No, you weren't perfect, but you repented of and renounced the values of the kingdoms of this world. Instead, you embraced in faith Jesus. In the words of Jesus, you laid aside the values of the kingdom of earth and entered into the kingdom of heaven. There is a kind of faith that is a saving faith, and it's the kind of faith that leads us to become followers of Jesus, who for his sake lay aside all the idols that once held us. So then let's be crystal clear. What actually matters on Judgment Day? Answer, it's not what we do for the kingdom. The king does not need people to accomplish things on his behalf, but the king demands we bow the knee and surrender our lives in submission to his loving and gracious hands. Yes, it is about faith, but it's about a certain kind of faith. It is the kind of faith that trusts him. See, there are many examples of this, but let me give at least one. Before I had faith in Christ, I worshiped money as an idol. But now I trust him with my money and in faith, allow him to direct how my money is used. See, that's one example. Others might give other examples. Someone might say, before I came to Christ, I worshipped sex and pleasure, but now in Christ, I surrender my sexual desire to Him, asking Him to direct it to be used only in the context of marriage of a man and a woman in a lifetime covenant of faithfulness and commitment. We could give so many more examples, but in every case, faith leads to an obedience of Christ. So it's not about how effective you and I are for the kingdom. It's rather about whether you will humble yourself and bow in submission to your King. There's so much more to be said. Join me tomorrow as we sum up Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount with a challenge upon which foundation you will build your life.
What a powerful and relevant message from Jesus about the meaning of obedience as it relates to our faith in Him. Jesus' words are a great reminder and a warning for those who think that doing works, even in His name, are a guarantee for their salvation. As Dr. Neufeld has explained from this passage, what is important for eternity is that we have the right faith, the kind that leads to a life of obedience and submission to God. May these words continue to impact us and encourage us to walk closer with the Lord today. Well, our series on the Sermon on the Mount is almost done. But be sure to stay tuned for Dr. Neufeld's final message as we learn about an invitation to eternity. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. By now, many of you have probably heard or received our Bible teaching resource called Confident Living Magazine. This is sent once in 2 months. This magazine offers even more engaging Bible teaching articles from qualified Bible teachers and writers. It has articles that are relevant to life and exclusive updates on the ministry of Back to the Bible. The magazine addresses on difficult issues of life and your journey with God. If you have not asked for your copy of Confident Living Magazine, then don't delay. So be sure to ask for your personal copy. Call us at 9492-440070. Call us at 9492-440070. Or send your request by email info@backtothebible.in.